And I suspect that Keith Skipper is not a baby sham man either. But he has contributed a seasonal column for this month, a festive story set in 1951 that he wrote some time ago. Here is Tony to read this month's Skip Ahoy feature.
Mabel was robbed of her husband by one war and lost her son in the next. Arthur died in the Flanders quagmire of 1917, and Gregory perished on the beaches of Dunkirk in 1940. She dusted their photographs gently, a weekly sideboard ritual, gazed for a few moments, and then reorganised the crinkled newspaper on her fireside chair. It was Christmas Eve 1951, an occasion fashioned out of a clear need for continuing austerity in most Norfolk homes. Making a little go a long way came naturally to Mabel, born into rural poverty as her parents fought to squeeze a living out of a small parcel of stubborn land while Queen Victoria lorded it over half the world. Married at the turn of the century to the boy she sat next to at the village school, Mabel stayed close to deep countryside roots as Arthur worked on farms until he answered the patriotic call to arms. He left a wife and young son behind to join the big march towards mud-caked carnage. His widow taught herself dressmaking. His son became an accomplished craftsman, providing furniture for some of the fashionable addresses in Norfolk. Then another war introduced Mabel to loss. With no close relatives to console or concern her, she decided to settle in Hanser Cottage, a small but comfortable cottage. Rationing and snowy weather had been her main bugbears since the war ended. She prayed each night for the ceasefire to hold in Korea and for people to pay heed to the waste of two long and hideous conflicts which had dominated her life so far. Nearer home, she prayed for King George after his lung operation. While the Festival of Britain that year made no difference to her, she realised it did present some faith in a brighter future for all. Mabel hadn't taken interest either in the London Olympics 3 years earlier, but knew they didn't cost the earth and were organised well in a city savagely scarred by war. The Games were highly unlikely to return to this country while she was alive. No doubt inflation would push up the bill a quid or two if and when that starting pistol sounded again in the capital. Winston Churchill was Prime Minister again at 77. She couldn't help feeling sorry for that nice little Clem Attlee who had started to build a better and fairer country. Then again, she'd felt a bit sad for Winston, rejected so decisively in 1945 after his finest hour. Perhaps politicians would one day go back to that wartime coalition spirit, putting national need and unflinching principles ahead of party interests and short-term opportunism. She poked the fire a final time. There would be no visit from Santa Claus, although she would look in the morning at those 5 cards spaced to fill her mantelpiece. Reminders of how friendship takes time in its stride to but picks out Christmas to stop and cherish it. Mabel wondered how long it might be before the telephone took over from the copperplate handwriting she mastered in Miss Bulmer's class. Then there was television, ready to bring moving images into the home to inform and entertain at the push of a button. There was talk in the village of sets to be installed in the bigger houses, but she was quite happy at present to believe the best pictures were on the wireless. She remembered King George V making his first Royal Christmas Day broadcast from Sandringham in 1932. She heard Mr. Chamberlain declare this country was at war with Germany, and Mr. Churchill rousing speeches to keep up morale. She would hear voices and see faces on falling asleep far quicker than hosts of excited youngsters on this most special of nights. She could take comfort from happy family Christmases as a child, a bride, and a mother, even if presents were few and rich food in short supply. "Long as we have each other, that's all that really matter," Arthur used to say in his proud Norfolk tones. Her father doled out similar sentiments. "Least there's nothing here what hadn't been paired for." Mabel smiled. Now, after untold sacrifice in two world wars, surely peace, goodwill, and a little bit of prosperity must follow. "Happy Christmas," she whispered to herself, stroked the cat, and raided the sideboard for a tot of brandy.
Thank you, Tony.